Hi, I'm Pete Panitsky, one of the pastors here at St. Paul's, and I'll be sharing the message with you later in the service. Thank you so much for joining us for worship. Just a few announcements that I'd like to share with you before we begin. First of all, on August 23rd, there will be an outdoor service. We had about 350 people under the trees a couple of weeks ago, and we'd just like to do that again. So August 23rd, it'll be the 10:30 service time in place of the 9:15 bridge and the 10:45 service. That 10:30 service will be live streamed from outdoors as well. So August 23rd at 10:30. And then just a couple of Bible studies that we're doing. We are doing a Zoom Bible study where we look at the group work. And so August 27th is the next time that we'll be offering that. And then Mike Wessendorf leads a Bible study for young adults, 18 to 25. And to register for that, please just email him. That's on Sunday evenings. There's also a group that meets on Friday evenings as well, if that works better. So just email him and ask him for more information for just helping you grow closer to the Savior, especially at that time in your life where you're just going, man, Jesus is my friend, but I got a lot of questions for him. This is the place for you. And then finally, you know, please pray for our entire nation's school system as we are going through some tough times, what to do. And so pray for our school, pray for Wisconsin Lutheran High School, pray for our public schools and the teachers as we go through some tough decisions. What's the next step? So it's great to know that we have a God who is absolutely in control, and we will look forward to worshiping him with you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us in worship today. Today we are continuing our message series, In View of God's Mercy. We're looking at Romans chapters 12 through 16 and seeing how the gospel impacts our daily lives. Romans 1 through 11 is this marvelous explanation of God's grace and mercy in action. And over the next few weeks, we will continue to see how God is calling us, in view of God's mercy, to offer our bodies, our whole lives, as a living sacrifice to God. Today, to offer our life in service to each other through unhypocritical love. Let's join together in worshiping our Savior.
Save your child, O thorny. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you declared in the beginning that it is not good for the man to be alone. We were created to live in community. We were created to serve one another and build each other up.
Your will is that we honor and respect one another as co-heirs of salvation and co-workers in this world.
The evil one is planting seeds of disharmony, division, and disrespect in our hearts. He is pitting us against one another. He rejoices when we hurt each other physically and spiritually. The people we hurt are precious to you, Father, bought at the price of your Son's blood. They should be equally precious to us. We are sorry for the hurtful things we have said and done. Hear us as we humble ourselves before you. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Jesus, when you lived as a man among us, you showed great respect and honor for all people, including those who held very different worldviews. You even demonstrated mercy and compassion to those who were seeking to bring you harm.
May your Spirit live within us as we seek to live and work together respectfully with all people.
We pray, Jesus, in your name. You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first of our lessons from Holy Scripture today comes from the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. They're reading selected verses from chapter 41. In this lesson, we learn how God used Joseph to rescue an idolatrous and pagan people from famine and death. Genesis chapter 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. We read responsively verses from Psalms 42 and 43. As the deer pants for streams of water,
so my soul pants for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
Where can I go and meet with God?
Why are you so downcast, O my soul?
Why so disturbed within me?
Put your hope in God.
For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me.
Let them bring me to the place where you dwell.
Then will I go to the altar of God, my joy and my delight.
I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God.
This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. Over and again, as we see here, Jesus demonstrates incredible love and compassion for people, here feeding the 5,000.
Glory be to you.
Matthew chapter 14. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ. Praise be to you, O Christ. In love and mercy infinite, teach us as ever in your sight to live our lives to you.
You sent your Son for
teach us the lesson Jesus taught, to feel for those His blood has bought, that every deed, good word and thought may work a work for you. Jesus Christ for all has died. Grant us the will and grace provide to love them all in you.
Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. There's a lot of tension in our world right now. How do we cope with people who act and think different than we do? How do we deal with people who mistreat us? How do we overcome? Let God's mercy to us be our motivation. Let God's grace be the foundation of our compassion. Look back to the cross and empty tomb. Remember the unfathomable grace and mercy we have received. How do we deal with tension? We find the answers when we remember to live in view of God's mercy.
In view of God's mercy, I'm standing here again under the cross at the front of our church, because it's a powerful reminder to me that we live in God's mercy, in God's grace, perfect forgiveness. And that motivates us then to want to give our lives as a sacrifice to our Savior. And so the altar reminds us that we are sacrificing to Christ, but we are sacrificing to each other. That's how we serve our Savior. And as the Apostle Paul goes on and talks about this idea of how to give a living sacrifice, he goes on today to explain that a key ingredient is unhypocritical love. I'd like to read the text for today. It's Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. The Apostle Paul writes, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who bless you and or bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Last week, as I was talking about my wrench set, I pulled out my pliers and I could see some cringes. You know, people who actually use tools go, a pliers is not going to take the place of a 7/16 inch wrench. In fact, it's just going to ruin things. You know, if you're trying to grab hold of a nut with a pliers, what happens very often is you're just rounding off the edges of that bolt or screw, and it just ruins everything. And I realized, as the Apostle Paul goes on to talk about what's necessary after the idea that we have spiritual gifts to be used to serve each other, he goes on and talks about something that reminds me, I'm just a pliers, and I kind of mess everything up, because he calls on us to love. Love sincerely is what our translation says. Literally, it's love without hypocrisy. Now, that word hypocrisy is interesting. It's actually two Greek words. It's under and judge. And when you wear a mask, you can practice this. So you have a mask on, and on the top, it looks like you love people, but underneath, you're cursing them. The judgment that very often is underneath. We love people, but there are things that just irritate us about other people, and there's this judgment that's very often just under the surface that we hope no one else can see. You and I need to be changed. A pliers just isn't going to do it. But I thought of another tool that I think might illustrate what God needs from us and what God can make of us. And that other tool, as I pull it out of my pocket, is a vice grip. Now, a vice grip is very helpful because when things get ruined and bolts start to get rounded, you know, when the nut isn't perfect, to use the vice grip and to grip onto that imperfect nut and turn it, a vice grip will hold on and will make a difference. Well, that's the thought that comes to my mind as the Apostle Paul talks about love. Love is easy if we are dealing with perfect nuts and bolts. But I don't know about you, but everybody around me is an imperfect nut. And Mike behind the camera is nodding. I hope you are too. I'm an imperfect nut too. So how can God help us to love sincerely so that we don't make matters worse? Because we can't serve one another if we don't love sincerely, if we're loving with hidden judgment. Well, the Apostle Paul, really in the first part of our text, has one main sentence: love sincerely, love without hypocrisy. And then there are 12 things that he says, these are the things to work on so that you might love
without hypocrisy. So he says, hate what is evil. Hate what's evil in you. The part of you that is so quick to judge other people. Cling to what is good. Look for the good in the people around you. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And that's hard work. So he says, never be lacking in zeal. Literally, it's don't be lazy. But keep your spiritual fervor. That's let the zeal of the Holy Spirit work through you. Serving the Lord. You see, how can we keep the zeal of the Spirit in us? It's when we're starting to get tired and we want to just give up, to remember that when we live our lives in view of God's mercy and we offer our lives to others, whom are we serving? We're serving the Lord. Yes, we are serving imperfect nuts and bolts, but ultimately we're serving the Lord. He goes on, be joyful in hope. Remember, you and I have a hope. A hope for eternity, certainly. That we have the promise that this life is short compared to the eternity that Jesus has won for us when he died on the cross. But we also have the hope, the confidence that our God is working all things for our good. That's Paul's comment in Romans chapter 8, this same letter. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Don't be surprised when it's hard to hold on to something that is so imperfect. Faithful in prayer. In other words, just recognizing you and I can't do it. If we want to love each other sincerely, without hypocrisy, without that judgment that just naturally comes, we'll need the power of our God working in us. And then he says, put it into practice. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Now, here's one of those places where our translation has made it more English, and I wish it was a little bit more Greek. The word for Lord's people is saint. Share the needs of the saints. See, this is one of those places that I really wish that I could just change the liturgy that we use all the time, because today again, we confessed and we put into our mouths the words that we are sinners. But then Pastor Keel announced the forgiveness of sins. And what does that mean? That in God's sight, we are saints, forgiven people. That's really important to remember as we read over these things that God says, do this so that you can love without hypocrisy. Oh, have you done that? Certainly not. But you are a saint because the Savior has washed all of your sins away. He looks at you and says, you are absolutely perfect. And so he says, share in the needs of the saints. As you see your fellow Christians, their needs are not just their needs. We've become family. And we share those needs. Your needs are my needs, and my needs are your needs. And we're going to act in unhypocritical love to care for each other, and then to practice hospitality. That's stranger love. So not only love the people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, but love the people that we don't know who are outside of our physical family and our spiritual family. Now, when, with God's help, we do this, we get to tighten down even more, and so that it becomes an absolute tool that can cause even the most rounded bolt to be turned. Love unhypocritically. We need God's help to tighten it down so that this love will not slip off when it gets hard, when we're dealing with people who are just hard to deal with. But there's another reason why I chose to use a vice grip to help us picture what our God is calling us to do. The vice grip not only has this little thing to tighten down so that we can make it incredibly tight on a nut or a bolt or whatever we're trying to loosen or tighten, but it also has this little lever that loosens things. You see, that's also what needs to happen. Our God has to work a miracle in us so that we let some things go. Specifically, love for ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't love ourselves. You know, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. How can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? But why can you and I love ourselves? Because we're saints. Yes, love yourself as a forgiven child of God. But what we have to let go of, what we need the Holy Spirit to work on us so that we let go of that sinful, prideful love that feeds that judgment that tends to be always under the surface. And so the Apostle Paul goes on and he says, bless those who persecute you and do not curse. See, I can't even say it right because it's so contrary, I guess. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. See, what very often mars our love for others is when they sin against us, there's a part of us that in pride says, how dare they dishonor me? Don't they know how important I am? Holy Spirit, come and release that sinful pride within us so that we can bless those who mistreat us. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Well, that's easy. No, it's not. Have you ever gotten down when you watched or looked at a bunch of social media? Everybody is posting great things on there and you get done and go, ooh. Because there's a part of you that's going, my not life isn't like that. Envy. Oh, Lord. There's this pride that just holds on to that bitterness. Holy Spirit, come and release that pride, so that we can truly rejoice with those who rejoice. And just, oh, God be praised that he has given them that joy. And mourn with those who mourn, that there is a part of us that your pain is my pain too. Live in harmony with one another. And notice twice in this next sentence, he talks about pride and conceit. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. That's what I mean. It's like, man, we need God's help to tighten down what it means to love without hypocrisy, but then we also have to have the Holy Spirit's help to let go of this sinful pride. He goes on and says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Isn't that the normal way for us to react? Lord, destroy that pride in us that says, if you mistreat me, I have a right to mistreat you. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Bishop J.D. Jakes at the Global Leadership Summit this last week that many of us on staff and many of the members got to participate in. J.D. Jakes talked about how important it is for us to gather a group of people around us who think differently than we do and would react to issues differently than we do. Paul, when he says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, he's not saying do what's right in everybody's eyes and disregard God's law. What he's saying is be humble enough, let go of the pride, so that we begin to understand how does somebody else view the world? If we have different backgrounds, racial backgrounds, economic backgrounds, political backgrounds, we will view the world in a different way. True, unhypocritical love calls on us. If we want to serve others out of sacrificial love to the Savior, then we need to be willing to listen to what's right in their eyes. How do they view the world? To humble ourselves and just recognize there's another way to view the world. And one culture isn't the right culture and another culture the wrong culture. Holy Spirit, come and release us from the pride that keeps us from being willing to listen to each other so that we try to understand what is right in your eyes. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Don't take revenge. Easier said than done. Another speaker at the Global Leadership Summit this past week was Lisa Turkhurst. She's the leader of Proverbs 31 ministry. I've heard that ministry many times on Christian radio. And Lisa was horribly hurt. Her husband ruined what should be the best year of their married life. Two of their kids were going to be married and was just going to be a great year. And he found out she was unfaithful. And she was going to a counselor. And the counselor asked, Lisa, do you want to heal? And she said, yes. And the counselor said, well, then it's a good time to talk about forgiveness. And she was going, no, there's too much pain to forgive. And the counselor did something that was incredible. The counselor told her to take cards and write on these note cards all the different ways that her husband had hurt her. And she just wrote on card after card, and then laid them out on the floor in front of her, card after card, so much pain, so much hurt. It went on and on and on. And then the counselor said, "You have reason to be hurt. And I'm sure that you do too. I'm hurt. I'm hurt by people who love me dearly. I've realized that I don't have to be hurt so severely as Lisa was because, you know, I've got frustrations. Maybe you do too. Things that just irritate you about somebody, about a spouse, or a child, or a coworker, or a neighbor. And when we harbor those things, oh, on the outside we can say, I love you, but underneath there's that under judgment. How do we get rid of that? I would encourage you, if there are things that you go, I just want revenge, to write it down, put the cards out. And then what the counselor told Lisa was, take all of those cards and cover them with red cloth. Now, I don't have all those little pieces of red cloth, but I did find a red blanket. The blood of our Savior covers all of it. You see, when we deal with the imperfect nuts around us, they're going to hurt us just as we hurt them. The hurts are real, and sometimes the hurts are incredibly deep. So let's acknowledge those hurts. But then let's also acknowledge that God hasn't called us to take revenge. By God's grace, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for all of those sins, and we can entrust that into God's care. And if vengeance is necessary, our God will take care of it. But in love, unhypocritical love, with God's help, let's leave it in His hands. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has covered all of our sins and covered the sins of those who've sinned against us. And instead, Paul says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. You're going to make him blush. When you treat an enemy, somebody who's hurt you, with undeserved love and kindness, not because they deserve it, but because you live in view of God's mercy. You've experienced God's incredible grace and mercy. And so you're offering your lives as a living sacrifice to God, also as you strive to love even those who have hurt you. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Brothers, sisters, really, I'm a pliers. God has gifted me in different ways, but very often I use those gifts with hypocritical love. And it ruins so much of what I touch. And I know that's true of you too, because we have the same powerful, sinful nature. And so I would invite you to join with me in praying that the Holy Spirit would instead make us vice grips, able to hold on in love to the imperfect people around us, that he would perform that miracle and just help us tighten down and just say, I am not going to give up. I am going to love even those who are so different than me, that are so hard to hold on to in love. And that the Holy Spirit would let go of the sinful, prideful love of myself. I'll be honest. That seems like an incredible miracle. But one of our teachers in a conference meeting earlier today just shared her favorite wedding, or her favorite passage. It was her wedding text. It's a great passage for us to remember. That our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You know, if the Holy Spirit, speaking through Paul, hadn't confronted me with what it really means to love without that under judgment, I wouldn't realize what a miracle I was asking for. But the more I think about it, the more I'm saying, Lord, it seems impossible to me, but you promise to work your power in us. So to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church. That is, to him be glory in us who live in view of God's mercy and see the world across the altar and say, I am going to give my life in service to my Savior by loving others. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 10 that it is with our heart that we believe and are justified, and with our mouth that we make profession of our faith and are saved. Let's make public profession of our faith today using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You know, it's at this time that we normally gather an offering. And so it's just a time to celebrate what our God is doing through us and through your incredible generosity. Today was a meeting of all of our teachers and most of our ministerial staff was able to be there as well, as we made plans to begin a new school year. And obviously there are challenges to this new school year. But as I sat in that room with these incredibly talented, dedicated people, I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of a family that generously supports the mission of our school and of our congregation. So on behalf of the ministerial team, the teaching team, thank you for allowing us to share the love of our Savior, not only with you, but with hundreds of children in our school. So if you need some help to give online, go to our website, stpaulmuskego.org, or just give us a call, and we'd be glad to help you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Let the love of Christ fill your church, that it may flourish in all good works. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you. Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. And help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior, in whose name we join to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.